Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Loose Ends, where we tie up some topics we left dangling about diapers, dairy, and other developments. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 164. Hello, Shauna.
Hi.
So we are dying to know what's going on with you guys this week and how are those kiddos?
They are doing well. The first update I have is about myself.
Ooh.
And it's a little bit of a follow up on something I talked about a long time ago, which is I finally got an IUD put in this week.
Ooh, welcome to the club. Yes.
Thank you. Proud to be a member. So I was just taking low dose progesterone pills this last year, the mini pill, because I can't take estrogen anymore because of my migraines with Aura, and was just kind of waiting to get through COVID to like get back into a doctor's office and think about getting an IUD. So it'd be more convenient. So I finally did that. I got the Kylena, which is like the Mirena, but lower dose of progesterone. And I guess it's a little bit smaller. I don't know. They talked me into it. I don't know. I just said, sure, sounds great. And so I went in for the insertion and I need to get this off my chest because this was a thing.
Okay.
So I go in and you go in and get it inserted when you're on your period. I didn't realize that. I guess because that's when your cervix is softer and more open. So it helps with insertion. So I'm like, okay, that's good. I'll be like prepared.
Oh, really? I had forgotten about that because actually, I don't think I ever fell into that category because the last two I got were postpartum and then 6 weeks postpartum. And then before that, I had been on Depo. So I like wasn't getting periods regularly. So, but that makes sense. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So I had to wait till I started my period, got it, went in. And doctor's like, this is going to be a breeze. This is such a great birth control, so much better than the pill. Mm-hmm. You're going to love it. And she gets down there, takes a little peek at the old cervix, and she's like, oh. And
I'm
like, what?
That's not what you want to hear when someone's looking at your cervix.
No, that is not what I want to hear. She's like, you have a very small cervix. And I was like, oh.
Okay.
Really? She's like, you've had kids? And I'm like, yeah, I had two of them by C-section. And she asked me why I had my C-sections and I explained and everything. And she's like, and it is tightly shut.
It is clenched
tight. And I was like, oh my God. She's like, I need a change of plans.
Oh no.
She's like, I need to insert a lidocaine blocker in your cervix because I need to manually dilate it so I can get this thing in.
Oh, I've got like shivers down my spine right now.
I know. I am so sorry to talk about this because it is not pleasant. So I'm like, okay, well, that's good. Because dilating your cervix hurts, huh? She's like, yes, most women find it completely unbearable. Like it's unbearable pain. And I don't want to put you through that. She's like, what I'm going to do is give you 4 shots of lidocaine in your cervix.
So oh, no.
She's like, you're going to feel the needle. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. I have had so much stuff go on down in that area between my infertility and all of the transvaginal ultrasounds and, you know, fertility treatments and IVF and everything. But I have never had needles stuck into my fucking cervix. I was like, my eyes were closed. I was like sweating. She was doing this. I'm like, Jesus Christ, let this be over. Oh, my God.
Was it painful?
Yes, it was painful.
Oh.
I was like, the pain of the dilation is worse than the pain of this. She's like, absolutely, because this is going to numb everything. You're not going to feel anything else.
Oh,
and the weird thing about this, she's like, you're going to start feeling numbness in your tongue and your lips.
What?
Yes. She's like, people are really surprised by that. So I want to give you fair warning so you know that it's completely normal. And sure enough, within a minute, like my tongue and my lips were just like tingling. It was the weirdest thing.
What? That's so weird. There's a connection between your cervix and your tongue and your lips.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is like a whole rabbit hole I'm going to be diving into later, but wow. Okay.
So once like the numbness of the cervix happened, everything was fine, you know, and she was really nice doctors. She's a new doctor to me. And she was talking about my family and the girls while she was doing everything, you know, so I kind of like took my mind off of the procedure and was thinking about my family and stuff. So it was nice. And, you know, once it was in, it was fine. Like I felt crampy and everything. But, you know, she's like, now you can't wear tampons for 3 days, like no baths or swimming for 3 days, no sex for 3 days. It's like, OK, so that's the rules. So I left with like this giant pad, menstrual pad. In my underwear. And this will come into play later.
Okay.
And so I was a little bit crampy, but it was fine. I was like, okay, I'm okay with this. And so later in the day, I just not even thinking, you know, I've got this pad on and my girls always follow me into the bathroom all the time. And I go and go pee and Cece's in there with me. And I'm not even thinking, I pull my underwear down. I've got this big bloody pad. She's like, Mama, what you have? Looking at the pad on my underwear. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a pad. And like almost on cue, Elle bursts into the bathroom and she's like, what's a pad? And she like looks at it too and like does a double take. And they're both like just staring at this blood on this pad between my legs, which is half from IUD and half from just being on my period, right? And so I was like, okay, here we go. Like they've discovered periods. So
yeah,
we're going to have this conversation.
Oh, so this is like the talk that's starting way before they're ever going to get their periods.
Yeah.
But so they've never once seen like a tampon or a pad or anything like that.
Not a used one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've probably pulled out a tampon in front of Cece when she was much younger and like didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, of course, they've found like panty liners and stuff in the cabinets and they think they're stickers. Like they've pulled out 20 and like stuck them all over and everything. But the context wasn't there. And so Elle's like, Mama, you're bleeding. And starts to panic a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, no, no, it's okay. This is just called a period. You know, people with uteruses like me and you and Cece, when we grow up, our bodies start to prepare to have a baby every month. And one thing that happens is their uterus fills with blood. And then every month, if they don't have a baby, the blood comes out of their body. And it's totally normal, totally natural. And as I'm talking, I'm just like mindlessly wiping because I've just gone pee.
Yeah.
And I wipe. And her eyes get big and she goes, Mama, that's so much blood. And I'm just like trying to stay totally chill about the whole thing. Just like, yep, that's totally normal. Like, that's not a big deal. I'm so used to it. This has been happening to me forever. And she's like, that's going to happen to me. And I'm like, yep, totally. She's like, oh, okay. And like, that was that. They were like totally fine with it.
That was it?
That was, yeah, they were fine with it. And then like off to something else. But, you know, kids, they think about things, mm-hmm. especially Elle. I've seen this with her before. She gets big news, seems to move on from it, but then brings it up later, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know she's been thinking about it. So later on, it's bath time. And she, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she's like, Mama, it's so weird that you have blood coming out of your vulva. And I'm like, yep, stay calm, right? No big deal. I want her to not feel weird about this at all. I'm like, yeah, it was probably pretty surprising for you to see that, huh? And then she says, and I quote, Mama, a 100% big blob of blood just came out of your vulva. That is a direct quote. I wrote it down so fast after because I was like, I love her so much. 100% big blob of blood just came out of your vulva.
That describes it pretty well. Big blob of blood.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Bingo. Hit the nail on the head.
I'm really glad I have boys. Not because I like have any problem with periods or explaining it. Like I've actually had to explain to Augie, like, he's like, what's that? I'm like, oh, it's a pad of, you know, some bleeding, especially it was mostly after I had Sebastian, you know, there was a lot of bleeding and there were just times I had to like have him around when I went to change my like giant pad, like my giant like frozen pads, right? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I was trying not to because it was a little disturbing, the like the immediate postpartum bleeding, right? But like as it trickled down, he saw it. But I like, it is completely natural. It's completely normal, but it is also fucking weird. Like, it's just like when you explain it, it's just totally normal where just our uteruses fill up with blood and tissue and then it just gets rid of it once a month. We have to deal with this bullshit. That's what I would have a trouble with. I would have trouble being like totally neutral and calm. I'd be like, no, this fucking bullshit. Men don't have to deal with this.
I know. It's hard not to bring so many of my own feelings into it. So once again, we just talked about it a little bit more and she's like, so this is going to happen to me when I get older. And I'm like, yep. She's like, okay. And we moved on to bath time. And what I got from this situation is I'm not trying to pat myself on the back for like being calm and cool about it. Like I'm only talking about that because I am trying to make a point with this story. I'm going to just continue a couple more minutes to describe. So, you know, I was pretty calm and cool and collected about it. And as such, like, she was pretty chill about it, right? And I was like, wow, our reactions and emotions can really often help and dictate how our kids react to things.
Totally.
Right? And the reason I had this realization is because earlier in the day, something else happened. And I just want to contrast the two situations,
okay,
to make my point here. So earlier in the day, I needed to staple my passport picture onto my renewal form. And so I got out a stapler and I'm like, Jesus, when was the last time I've ever used a stapler? I don't know. Right? It's just like, and I was struggling with the stapler. Like it didn't like, the staple part was too far in on the paper, you know? And
it's super awkward. I had to do this when we got Augie his passport and it's like, you have to staple it exactly this right way, but it's like you have to have a really long stapler to get it done right. It's really weird.
Yes, I'm so glad you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's too far in on the page for just like this little stapler I got at Target just so I could staple this picture. Ridiculous. So I'm struggling with this stapler. I'm jamming it. Like multiple staples get stuck in it. And so I'm like trying to pull the staples out. And in doing so, I stapled my thumb. And the staple is sticking out of my thumb. And I freaked out, like complete overreaction. I'm like, oh my God. And Steve's there. The girls are standing right nearby. I was like, oh my God, get it out. Steve, get it out. And I'm holding my thumb up in the air and he comes over and he squeezes my thumb for some reason. I'm like, don't fucking squeeze it. Just take it out. And he takes it out. And because he'd been squeezing it, blood starts dripping down my thumb. I'm like, oh my God. And Elle is seeing this and tears well up in her eyes and she starts crying. She's so worried about me. She's like, oh my God, Mom, are you okay? Oh. She cried for 10 minutes, all upset and worried about me that I was injured because of this staple and like two drops of blood. So contrast that to, you know, my reaction to like a ton of period bloods. And she was like, okay with it. So I was like, oh my God, Shani, you got to remember, like your reactions can, you know, dictate how your kids react to things too. I think because I flipped out so much about it, it made her really upset.
For sure. Yeah, that is a really interesting case study. Like two incidents where you have completely different emotional reactions and how the kids react.
Yeah.
Poor thing. Did you have to like talk to her afterwards and be like, Mama's okay. Mama overreacted.
Yes. Yeah. We had to have a talk about it and help calm her down and everything. Oh, she's so sensitive. A little sweetie.
So did you get the passport renewal out?
No, it's still sitting. counter. I filled it out in June and I still haven't sent it in. I don't know. It's like I need a manila envelope. Now I have to go buy that, you know, to send it in and whatever. I'll get it off soon enough.
A lot of hoops.
Anyway, that's my long-winded check-in this week. I would love to move on to you and hear what you guys have been up to.
Yeah, okay. Let's get into our week. I might be a little scattered because our week is all about sleep and the lack of it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Let's get into it. I feel like I want to talk about it because I'm sure I can't be the only one who's going through this. So Augie is 2.5 still and Sebastian's still 5 months. And let's start with the baby. So it's his first full week of wearing the helmet and that doesn't seem to really bother him. He actually doesn't seem to mind it. He wears it 23 hours a day. He actually kind of minds when we take it off now. Like,
really? That's interesting.
We take it off and he starts like rubbing his head all over and gets real fussy. Like, yeah, I think it feels weird for him. Yeah. You know how when you have sunglasses on your head all day and then you take them off and your head is like, where are my sunglasses? Like you're constantly feeling. I think that's what it's like for him.
Absolutely.
So he doesn't mind that. It's my second week of no dairy. I have not seen any improvement, but I am getting sick of the fake cheese. Still love that oat milk, though. Still into the oat milk.
That's good.
But his sleep has gotten absolutely horrendous. Like, we're worse than newborn phase right now.
What? Oh, no.
I haven't gotten more than a 2.5 hour stretch from him all week. Oof. And it's been more like every 40 minutes to an hour, he's been waking up wanting to nurse.
Oh, my word. What is going on?
I don't know. It's like, is it a growth spurt? Is it teething? We give him like Tylenol. It doesn't seem to help. I'm at my wit's end. And
is he still in the snoo?
He is still in the snoo. We've decided to try arms out because maybe he is like too sick of being swaddled. But then he'll like sleep the longest amount of time when his arms are in. But still, by the end of this week, I was like, fuck it. We're going to have to move him out eventually. So he needs to have his arms out. So I just put his arms out. That didn't seem to make a difference. So that didn't seem to be the issue. I tried weaning mode where it's not even shimmying one night, and that didn't seem to make a difference. I want to move him to his own room, which I think might help, but his room is like the catch-all from our move. Like, it's where the boxes that we haven't unpacked are. And I, you know, in desperation, I was telling Corey, like, we need to move him into his own room. We need to sleep train. Like, this is getting bad. And Corey was like, well, do you know where the crib hardware is? And I was like, well, you were the one who picked up the crib when we bought it from Facebook Marketplace. And you're the one who packed it up. Do you know where the crib hardware is? He's like, I don't know where the crib hardware is. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take a deep breath.
So you have the crib slats and wood pieces. You just don't have the nuts and bolts. Oh,
and a brand new fancy like Newton mattress that I bought that was on sale like for Memorial Day or something. All of it's ready to go. There's just no nuts and bolts to put it together.
No.
So we ordered that. We don't know how long that's going to take to get here. So until then, we're kind of stuck. And I'm just super, super tired. I'm basically just holding on until we can sleep train because I figure it's just going to be awful until we can sleep train. And like, I'm just going to be tired and both emotionally and physically drained, like emotionally drained and physically drained of breast milk. Like, because he's eating every time he wakes up. It's the only way I can get him back down.
Right.
So I'm tired. I'm hungry. I just want cheese, but I'm not doing cheese. Not for one more week. If it's not making a difference after this week, like, fuck it. I'm eating cheese again because like, what's going to happen? His sleep is going to get worse.
Yeah, it's really sad and ironic that the weeks you're making a sacrifice or the weeks it's just gotten to pure hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and he also doesn't have blinds in his room.
Oh, yeah. You got to get that.
And it's east facing. So it's like first thing in the morning, super bright. Anyway. Yeah. There's a lot that needs to happen, but I'm like, we're putting it into place now. Like, we've ordered the hardware. My mom is coming to visit next week, so I know we can't sleep train when she's here. Like, there's just no way that's going to happen. But I could use the time she's here to, like, if we get the hardware, we can put the crib together while she watches the baby, and we can put the blinds up. Like, I have the blinds. I just haven't put them up because it hasn't been a priority. So, yeah. So we're going to do that while she's here, and then the day she leaves, I think we're going to sleep train because it needs to happen.
Yeah, you need it. You need it.
I'm so over it. At first, I was like, I don't want to sleep train. I want to have my sweet little baby with me in the room as long as possible. He's my last baby. And now I'm like,
get this kid out of the room. I don't care if he cries.
Well, yeah, waking up every 40 minutes to an hour, I'll definitely do that to you.
It's brutal. Just when you think it's done, you know, like just when you think he's down, he's like, meh, meh, meh. No, kid, no. God. Corey actually has slept in the guest room a couple times because I was like, one of us should be getting sleep, you know?
Yeah, true.
So, yeah, but that's what's going on with the baby this week. By the way, during the day, super happy, super lovely. You wouldn't know anything had happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Naps like normally. Ugh, babies. Babies in their sleep. But he's very adorable and I love him so much. Now, since this is a sleep themed check-in, I have a big update for Augie.
Oh, okay.
So I've talked a lot about how he resists his naps and all the ways I've been trying to trick him into napping, like playing truck tunes on the Sonos or like, you know, whatever. There's just a million things I've been trying. And success rates have been mixed. And this week, with the baby not sleeping and my like nerves totally fried from lack of sleep, I didn't have the fight in me anymore, Shauna.
Oh.
I went to go put him down for his nap one day and I just like looked at him and he's running around like a maniac saying, I don't want to nap. I don't want to nap. And I just said, okay, you don't have to nap. You can have quiet time in your room instead. And I was like, mommy will be back in an hour. Have fun. And I like left and closed the door.
Was he in his bed or was he in his room?
No, he was out of his crib. He was in his room. Just free. And I had anticipated this possibility happening. And I had like anchored all of his furniture and stuff the week before and like put on those little door handle turny things that make it so he can't open the doors. So I had like childproofed his room in anticipation of this becoming a reality. And I just told him I'll be back in an hour and left. And he had fun playing with his toys. One thing I did not anticipate was that he was going to open up all of his drawers and take all of his clothes out.
That is a big favorite activity of Cece too. Oh yeah.
So I'm going to need to secure those because I just really don't want to have to put them back in every day. But yeah, it actually worked out fairly well. He's pretty good at keeping himself entertained. Like, good. I decided to start with an hour, but I'd really like to work up to like 2 hours. And even saying that out loud makes me feel like a bad mom. Like, oh my gosh, you're just letting your child be in his room for 2 hours without any supervision and without any interaction. But I'm like, well, that's what a nap is. But he refuses to sleep. So what's worse, like him complaining in his crib for 2 hours or him just getting to quietly, like, quote unquote, read his books and play with his toys?
Yeah.
You know? So this week was a week of quiet time. And we worked up to like almost 2 hours. At like an hour 45, he starts to be like, Mama, are you coming? Are you coming? But up until that point, he's fine. So
that's amazing. I think that's fantastic. A great solution for both of you. And the fact that he can handle it and he's having a great time. That's perfect.
The problem still is that his bedtimes are like awful. Like the evenings are still really, really hard because he's obviously overtired. Like I think his body still needs the nap, but his brain just won't let it happen for whatever reason. So I don't know. I don't know if we're going to stick with this going forward, but for this week, it's all I can handle is quiet time. So gives us a little bit of a reprieve at the very least.
Absolutely.
As long as I don't sit and watch the monitor the whole time being worried about him emptying out the drawers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that's our week. Very low on sleep, very big on fun.
Oh my gosh. Maybe you should go take a nap. We'll take a break and come back with our special segment.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I should do that. Okay, quick snooze and then we'll be back.
Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is Loose Ends, where we give updates on past topics that we left hanging. So let's get straight into it. Laura, I have a question for you about Augie.
Okay, hit me.
So in our Facebook community group, one of our listeners, Kelsey, asked a question, and I thought this was perfect for Loose Ends. She wants to know, is Augie still acting and modeling? And also, are you going to get Sebastian into this Hollywood life of fame?
This is a great question. So for people who maybe don't remember, Augie got an agent when he was like, I want to say 5 months old, 6 months old. And he ended up being in one episode of Modern Family. It was season 11, episode 3, I think. Perfect Pairs. Mm-hmm. He was a featured extra because he didn't have any lines, you know, because he wasn't talking yet. I think he was 7 months old. And he played the baby of someone that Claire Dunphy wanted to like work with. Anyway, it was very cute. It was very fun. And that was literally the only thing he did. We never went on any other auditions. We never did anything else. So then the pandemic hit and I was already starting to feel kind of iffy about like I'm taking him to auditions and doing anything. Like, are things even going to be shooting? Like, how is it safe? You know, it was a really scary time. I think everyone remembers a year and a half ago where it was just like super scary. And so I was like, I don't think we're going to be doing this anymore, but we'll keep his headshots up to date, whatever. And by headshots, I mean like Corey gets his DSLR out of the closet, his like fancy camera, and takes photos of him because he was like 15 months old, right? At the beginning of the pandemic. And our agency got all huffy about the fact that we didn't want to pay for professional headshots for our 15-month-old during the pandemic. Like, they were that we wanted to do it ourselves. And then they got really, really nitpicky about how they looked and like just weren't accepting them and making us take pictures over and over and over. And it was just like a real pain in the ass. But we still took the pictures, got some cute pictures of Augie. And then like 2 weeks later, they sent an email saying that they were dropping him from their roster because he wasn't booking enough work. And I was like,
how dare they?
I know. How dare they? I was like, I was about to break up with you before you broke up with me. I didn't even want to do this.
They beat you to it. Oh, so unfair.
They beat me to it. So, and I had been having reservations about this agency in general because they were just mean about things. And I'm like, look, this is a kid, you know?
Yeah. Like,
you're not paying this kid enough for this to be a mean thing. Like, there was one incident where they wanted us to go to an audition. So she had asked, like, do any kids laugh really easily? And I was like, oh, yeah, Augie's a great laugher. Like, here's a video of him laughing at me shaking some ice in a Starbucks cup. Mm-hmm. And then I get a text message being like, great. So you and Augie are booked for an audition like tomorrow at 9 a.m. And I wrote back. I was like, me and Augie? I'm not. Like, what's going on? They're like, oh, they wanted real mother-child pairs for this. So you are part of the audition. I was like, well, first of all, you didn't tell me that. Second of all, I'm having an endoscopy tomorrow. Like, I'm going to, like, this is not going to work. And they're like, well, you shouldn't have said that you were available. I was like, I did not say I was available. I was like, I was never part of this. And then they're like, well, you said you were available to take him to an audition. I was like, no, I didn't. I would have sent my husband. Like, this is ridiculous. So they got all huffy at me about that. And so I was just like pissed off at them anyway. And then they dropped me and I was like, whatever. So he is no longer repped. And I was not about to find him a new agent during the pandemic because my rule was like, if it stops being fun, we're not doing it anymore. And it clearly had stopped being fun. So
yeah,
we're now back to, you know, average Joe, no representation family. And I don't think I'm going to be seeking out, you know, any agencies for Sebastian. I mean, he is super cute, but he actually does kind of, it's so stupid. He doesn't fall into like their parameters because he has some birthmarks on his face. So he doesn't have perfectly clear skin. And now he has the helmet. So like, forget it. They're, he doesn't fall into their perfection mode. So so we're just a happy family without any photo shoots. And honestly, it was like a weight being lifted off my shoulders. I didn't even realize it, but I had all this like mental load about like, oh, are his headshots up to date? And have I like updated his availability on their website? Like, there was one time where I had to go up to Fresno sort of last minute because, you know, my dad had been sick and I wanted to go up and see him. And they got all pissed off because I didn't give them 2 weeks' notice that we were leaving. I'm like, you haven't sent us on an audition for like 6 months. Like, and you, no.
That's a bit much and definitely falls in the category of not so fun anymore.
Definitely not. So thank you for asking, Kelsey. No, the answer is no. No more.
All right. We'll just have to wait for him to write, direct, and star in his own feature film.
Exactly. Well, if he wants to do it, like legitimately wants to do it when he's older, I'll support him, but I'm not about to go do it independently.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of acting, is Elle still acting like a dog all the time? We talked about this in episode 154.
Yes. Dog. Also, very often, big cats, cheetah, leopard, lion, and often house cats. Every day, they play animals, pretty much, and Cece follows suit. Yesterday, it was actually pretty nice because it was a good chunk of independent play time, and I was, like, off doing chores. The two of them used the Nugget and a bunch of Magna Tiles and a bunch of other toys to build a doggy daycare. And
oh, cute.
They pretended they were little dogs in this doggy daycare, and like they had like their nap section for the dogs and like the potty section for the dogs. And Elle took a big long string of toilet paper and tied it around Cece's neck as a leash and was like,
oh my God,
look, Mama, I have a leash for the dog. I was like, that is the only thing you're ever allowed to tie around anyone's neck in this house.
Oh,
like, 'cause
my gosh,
it'll break
yes.
easily. Like, that's okay, I guess. And they were just like, you know, walking each other around like dogs. So, yes, full on canine acting going on over here. Full on.
That's really cute. You know, I wanted to ask about that because Augie has all of a sudden started acting like a tiger or a cat. Oh, we've never done
really?
Doggies. Yeah.
Oh.
One day I just came downstairs. He was in his playroom on all fours and he was like, meow, meow. And I was like, oh, are you a cat? And he was like, no, I'm a tiger. I'm like, okay,
ooh,
sure. And yeah, so now every once in a while he'll just get down on all fours and be an animal of some sort. And it's adorable. It's totally adorable.
So adorable. And I guess it's a common behavior with the little ones. Cece's new thing is acting like a cat that hisses, which I'm just like, of course, like you decide to play like the salty cat, right? She's like, sss, sss. And I was like, okay, so you're an angry cat. Oh, what about a happy cat? Meow. And she does meow. And I'm like, oh, what about a really happy cat that purrs? And I roll my tongue, like try to get her to like make a purring sound. Uh-huh. I'm like, rrr. And so her impression of purring is just going like this. And it's the cutest thing ever.
Just so. Like real cats.
Yeah, yeah, just like real cats. All right, okay, I have another follow-up question for you.
Okay.
On episode 161, I talked about Cece's first trip to the dentist, and you mentioned that you guys were going soon with Augie. So I want to know, did you guys go to the dentist? How did it go?
Yeah, actually, we went this week. I think in that episode, I thought it was like the next week, and I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
It was this week. It was on Monday, and I didn't get to go because I had to stay home with the baby.
Oh, okay.
And they're only letting one parent go because of COVID. So Corey took Augie to the dentist, but from what I could tell, everything went great. He did a really good job, apparently, lying back and letting the dentist look in his mouth. They didn't do like a cleaning or anything. They just looked in and educated Corey. Ugh, God, Corey came home and he was like, are we using fluoride toothpaste with Augie? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, we've been using it basically since the beginning. He's like, oh, okay. I told the dentist we weren't, so she told me we had to start. And I was like, come on, man. I want my gold star. What the heck? He was like, yeah, she told us we had to start using it. I was like, we've been using it all along.
Oh, man. He misrepresented you.
But, you know, Augie apparently did great and let the dentist floss his mouth. And he got to come home with his cute little toothbrush and toothpaste. He did not like the toothpaste they sent him home with because
really?
It was mint. Yeah, he likes strawberry flavored. Mint is, quote, too spicy.
Too spicy. Very spicy. I'm surprised they send such a little kid home with mint. We've only gotten bubble gum.
Oh, they're reaching above his station or something. I don't know. But yeah, no, too spicy. So we're still with the like Tom's strawberry flavored fluoride toothpaste. But yeah, no, it went well. And I'm glad it's done. And now I don't have that like hanging cloud of like, oh my God, I can't believe I haven't taken him to the dentist yet over my head. Like, okay, we did it. It's done.
Yep. And the next one's probably on the calendar already. They like to schedule those right away.
You know what? I should probably talk to Corey about that because I don't know. I don't know. And I am like the family calendar keeper.
Hopefully he knows the right answer to this one.
Yes. Okay. So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have talked extensively about Cece's dairy allergy/intolerance, right? She's there was the cheddar biscuit incident where you thought it would be okay to give her some cheddar biscuits and she broke out in hives again, right?
Yeah.
Or eczema.
Rash.
Mm-hmm. Rash, yeah. And you've tried a couple times and I feel like last time we checked in, it was like, well, I guess we still have to avoid dairy because every time we give it to her, she gets a rash.
Yeah.
So it's been a little bit since we've talked about it, though. So I'm really curious, is it still going on? Are you guys still a dairy-free household? What's up?
Okay. Great question. So for a long time, her eczema's been a lot better. Like her skin is just better. We stopped using all of like the eczema fancy lotions on her skin and everything. And she's been bathing with different soaps, you know, bathing with her sister and getting all kinds of exposure to soaps and everything. And her skin's been fine. So that's like that.
That's good.
That made me feel really good and a little bit less worried about the dairy. So when we went to the beach house in Redondo Beach with my mom and Pop, one of the big like treat foods that we always get as a family, my mom always loves to get like on road trips and stuff, is Cheetos. And it's very hard to give Cheetos to Elle without giving Cheetos to Cece.
I can't even imagine a world where that would go over well.
Yes, exactly. Not at all. So I was like, eh, we're on vacation. Your skin's been all right. Have some Cheetos. And that was like the gateway drug because she tolerated it really well. I was like, okay, some powdered cheese. Sure. And like we got home and Steve seemed to be like totally on board with like trying cheese and I was too. And so we like gave her a little string cheese one day for lunch and she seemed okay with it. And the next day I was like, wow, I think she's doing pretty well with dairy. And Steve's like, oh yeah, I gave her a big cup of milk this morning. I was like, what?
You're like, let's try a few things. Steve's like, let's throw her in the deep end.
Exactly. Just threw her right in. I panicked a little bit because milk just seemed like the scariest of all of them.
Yeah.
Like the most likely to cause a reaction, to cause night terrors at night, because that was another thing. Like it seemed like when we were giving her dairy in the day, she was getting disturbed at night. And nothing happened. Like nothing on her skin happened. No disturbances at night. And we were like, okay. And that was, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or so. And we've just been giving her cheese and stuff every day now. And she loves it. And it's just been fine. So she now eats dairy.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous, Cece.
You guys did a role reversal.
We did. We did. But that must be such a relief because I know that snack time is such a like tricky thing to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And going to preschool, I'm sure like you need to have snacks that you bring or maybe the school has it. But like knowing that you don't have to worry about that as an allergen is just got to be such a relief.
Such a relief. It really is. And our pediatrician had suggested we see an allergist since I was concerned about this. And I just never got around to it because I wasn't really taking her to extraneous doctor's appointments during the pandemic, you know? So I don't know for sure if she was ever allergic. Obviously, I don't think she was because she's fine now. But whatever that was, it seems like she grew out of it or it just never existed. And I was making an incorrect correlation.
I don't think so. My mom says that kids grow out of their allergies, especially a milk allergy,
Really?
Apparently my brother did that. Yeah. Apparently my brother was really bad. When he was a little baby, she like got a drop of milk on his lip and it like swelled up and was really, really bad.
Oh.
And she said, you know, he just grew out of it after a couple years.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that happened with Cece.
Yeah. Well, that's so good. Good news.
Yeah. We're all good over here.
Okay. I'm so glad to hear you're all doing well. I'm thinking let's take a quick break because I need to come back and give you my final loose end update. It's a little bit of a shocking revelation.
Oh, all right. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
All right, we're back. Laura. Okay, so you said you have a little update for us. I'm dying to know what this is about.
Yeah, so, okay, if you recall, in episode 160, we did a big topic about screen time for toddlers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked honestly about how much TV our kids are watching and whatnot. And the topic of Blippi came up.
Uh-huh.
Blippi, who is he started on YouTube. He's like a weird 30-something guy who wears suspenders and funny glasses and just takes kids on tours of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a kid's show. And I was adamant that we would not be watching Blippi in this household, right? I was
yes.
like, no way, no how. I will not do it. I don't know why that he like drove me up the wall. I just didn't want any part of Blippi in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that episode came out Monday morning, as usual.
Uh-huh.
And I get up with the baby and I walk downstairs to meet Corey and Augie, and they're in front of the TV, which isn't that unusual. And I turn to the TV and it's Blippi.
What?
Blippi is on the TV. And I was like, Corey, no, what have you done? He's like, he wanted to watch Blippi. What? He saw it on the lock screen. And apparently Blippi's now on Hulu, so it's not YouTube, so it came up. It was like, watch Blippi, and of course he was like, I want to watch that. And Corey, I had not told him. I had not like even mentioned Blippi. I didn't think it would come up, because you like on YouTube, you have to actively search for Blippi, right?
Right.
But on Hulu, it was suggested. He was like, what's wrong with this? They go to museums and stuff. And I was just like, I don't know why. I just hate this guy so much. So now Blippi is the favorite in our household.
Really?
Yeah. And I have to say, I've come around.
Okay.
He's not that. I mean, he's still weird. Like the dancing thing he does, I'm like, what? But I see the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that it's on Hulu. So we pay for the whatever, no ad version of Hulu. So we don't get ads in it like we would on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So that's okay. And not only like have I come around to thinking Blippi's okay and like turning it on willingly, we've now gotten to the point where I pretend to be Blippi.
No. Oh my God. Let me hear your Blippi impersonation.
Hey, Shada, you want to talk about Blippi? Oh, are we doing a podcast? Cool. Let's spell podcast together. All right. I'm not going to spell it. That's my Blippi. And then I do like the weird funky dance. And so Augie's like, be Blippi, be Blippi. So I have to like be Blippi all the fucking time now.
Oh,
but it's like a perfect way to get him like to do things.
Oh, well, there you go. Then that's all that matters.
Yeah. I'll be like, okay, it's time for dinner. And he'll be like, I don't want dinner. And then I'll just turn into Blippi and say like, Augie, it sounds like you don't want dinner, but it's dinner time. Can you spell dinner with me? I mean, this is all, like literally all I do is I just like say, let's spell words.
Uh-huh.
And it gets him into the high chair. It's great, honestly.
Wow. I think you have a great strategy on your hands. That's amazing.
We'll see how long this lasts, but it works for now. I will say we were at the park recently and he had made like two little friends and like their like cool hipster moms were hanging out talking, and I was like kind of chatting with them, and he came up to me and he's like, Mama, be Blippi. And I was like, no. These cool moms are gonna make fun of me if I do that.
Like, I have some dignity, child.
Blippi is an at-home experience.
Absolutely. Speaking of dignity, are you aware of Blippi's sordid past?
I am. I think it's really funny, actually. Would you care to enlighten our listeners who don't know?
Well, before Blippi was Blippi, he was Steezy Grossman, and he did a video, a viral video in which he poops all over his friend.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it. I don't know what it's about, but I've heard chatter about it in the moms groups, and I just think it's hilarious.
Everyone has a sordid past, man. I mean, I'm okay with it. I will say I took this photo of Blippi recently on our screen to send to a friend. I had like talked about this with a friend recently, and then I was watching Blippi and he was at like a chocolate factory and he was making Rocky Road.
Uh-huh.
So he was making Rocky Road, like a huge log of it.
Stop it.
And so,
oh my goodness, let me see this. That is a big log of chocolate, Rocky Road, and Blippi.
Yeah, and Blippi. So I sent it to my friend, was like, once a poop comic, always a poop comic. But yeah, so we are on the Blippi train. Oh, well.
Oh, well. There's worse things to watch in the world.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, so that's it for me. Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so we close every show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative from our week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Yay.
Yay. So ever since we moved into this house, Elle's room has been a bit incomplete. Like, I did a lot to decorate and set things up, but there are a few details that weren't in place. Like, she was missing baseboards for a while because we were, well, not me, but Steve was doing baseboards throughout the house where they were missing, and hers was kind of the last room to get done. And I still had some, like, weird blackout curtains that we'd had in our apartment, but the window was like really tall and huge in that apartment. And so the curtains are too long and not wide enough, you know, it's like just kind of putting things together, but don't really work. So finally I was just like, let's finish up her room. So Steve did the baseboards, which is nice. It looks much nicer in there now. And I was like, I want to get her some new blackout curtains that are cute and really fit with the room. Mm-hmm. So I searched Amazon and she was nearby while I was looking. She was like, I want those, and pointed at these curtains that are so cute and I love them and they are my BFP this week.
Okay. What is so special about these curtains?
Okay, so they are blackout curtains, but they're not 100% blackout because they have little stars cut out throughout them so that when it is daylight, like little starlight shimmers through the curtains. Mm-hmm. And it's really cute. And the curtains are like soft pastel-y rainbow color. So it's kind of like the rainbow colors gradiate into each other throughout the curtains. And then there's like a sheer cover, like a second curtain that's over the blackout curtain. It's like a sheer one. So the light comes through the little stars. It kind of bounces off the sheer curtain. And it just looks so darling in her room. I feel like a boomer using the word darling, but it is so darling. It's so cute. And she loves them. Since she's older than Cece, she doesn't need like pure blackout in her room to sleep anymore. So I was like, are you sure? Are you gonna have trouble sleeping if there's like a little bit of light coming through when you're trying to go to bed? She's like, no, I'll be fine. And it has. It's been fine. It still makes her room really dim. And it's just like really pretty and I don't know, really good quality. Specifically, they're called Angee, A-N-J-E-E, Angee Star Curtains for kids. And I'll post the link on our website because if you're looking for some cute curtains for your baby's nursery, I would highly suggest these because they're super cute.
I also love the idea of like letting her pick it out, you know, making her feel like her room is hers. That's something I'm trying to do with Augie right now because, you know, we moved into this new house and there's like no decorations around. And I realize like we haven't really given him a chance to like make his mark on his room. So, you know, I want to do something like that. I want to let him pick things out and feel like he has ownership of it, you know? That it's not just like a project of mine.
Yes. Yes. I still don't feel like Cece's there yet, but definitely now that Elle is older and, you know, has like some more opinions and I feel like she's outgrowing some of the younger stuff in her room, we're definitely moving more in that direction. I feel like Cece wouldn't, I don't know. I think she would pick weird stuff.
Well, also, she has a decorated room. Like, you made the nursery perfect when she was born and you've stayed in that house. Like, for us, I made Augie's room really cute in the old house, but the new house, we didn't have any time. So we're passing off like a nugget as decoration, basically. So yeah, we need to make it his.
Cool. Yeah. Well, give him some choices. I'm sure he'll enjoy that. Awesome.
Oh, that's so great. I can't wait to see those curtains.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
All right, Laura, what about you? What do you got for us this week?
Got a BFN.
No, BFN. Okay, what happened? What is it?
So I've talked about how I've had reservations with our new nanny, Ariel, right? And how we've had to have some talks and how last week she called Augie a psycho. Well, this week I had to fire the nanny.
Oh no. Okay. Why? What happened? How did it go? How did you communicate this to her? I have so many questions.
Well, as you know, there was already a lot of like reservations and Augie didn't like her and it was causing all this like separation anxiety stuff, right? But I was trying to give her a chance. I was trying to let him get comfortable with her. And then Monday morning, I realized, oh, Augie has his first dentist appointment at like 9:15 a.m. and she was supposed to come at like 8:30. And I realized like that'd be silly for her to come. So I was like, I texted her and I was like, hey, you know, you can actually come at like 10:30 instead. And we'll pay you for the hours, obviously, because you didn't know. And at like 7 a.m., she wrote back. She was like, okay, great. So I was like, cool. Got confirmation on that. So 10:30 rolls around. She's not here. But I've mentioned she's been late a couple times. So I was like, oh, maybe she's looking for parking, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Every time she's been late, like, I'll occasionally get a text message like 5 minutes after she was supposed to arrive saying that, like, traffic's terrible. And then she gets there and she gives some excuse about, like, how there was, like, filming on her street. It always got into some weird thing where she was, like, blaming downtown L.A. and how much it sucked to live there because there was always filming or whatever. So I always thought that was kind of weird, but whatever. And also, like, my bullshit radar was always going off with that because I, too, had been a woman in my early 20s once who did not like waking up early. And I, too, had come up with many an excuse for why I was late to work, you know? And so I was always like, eh, you were just late. Like, just tell me you slept in or whatever, right? So I was thinking, oh, she's a couple of minutes late, whatever. This is like kind of on par with her. 10:45 rolls around. She's not there. I text her. She has an iPhone, but it went to green, which means that like her phone wasn't on or whatever.
Right.
Then 11 o'clock rolls around. I try calling her and it goes straight to voicemail. Finally, she rolls in at 11:10. So like 40 minutes after she was supposed to be there, which is already like 2 hours and 40 minutes after she expected to be there in the first place. And she was like, oh, I was at my cousin's house and I was sleeping and my phone had died. So the alarm didn't go off. And so that's why I couldn't be here. And that's why I couldn't call you. And at that point, I was just like, all right, like, okay,
oh, no,
I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care what the problem is. Like, if it was the first time and the only time and she was awesome, it would be like, oh my gosh, problems come up, mistakes are made, fine, whatever. But it was just like the cherry on top, you know, just like all my other reservations about her. So that was Monday. And then Tuesday, we had like an off week for my mommy and me class. So I'd actually invited the moms to come like hang out in our backyard and have like a little play date with the babies. And so I was having these moms over and she had like asked me, oh, well, what do you want me to do with Augie while you're still home? And I was like, well, you can play with him and go in the backyard and play with him and like do all the stuff you normally do because I'm normally home anyway. And I can talk to my friends and stuff, right? She didn't quite get the memo. I ended up like chasing Augie around the backyard the whole time and not talking to my friends.
No.
And at some point, I like poke my head in. I'm like, to see what she was doing, because she was supposed to be making his lunch ahead of time so he could like have it.
Yeah.
This, even though it was like 10:30. But I was like, sure, make his lunch. And like a half hour goes by. I'm like, where the hell is she? I poke in. She's like looking at her phone. It's charging. I'm like, girl, you need to get like a better battery on your phone, like if it's always dying. And I was like, hey, what's going on? She's like, oh, did you want me out there? I'm like, yeah, I did. And so she came out and it just like all brought to light, like all the doubts I had been having about her. It just like it all just piled up. And I was like, you know what? This is just not a good fit. This is just not working. So that night we actually sent her an email and a text message like explaining what was going on, saying it's not a good fit. And, you know, we'll pay her out for the rest of the week, even though she had been with us like less than 3 weeks. I was like, we'll pay you out for the rest of the week. And you want to guess what she wrote back?
I don't know. Cool.
Absolutely nothing.
She didn't reply?
Not an acknowledgement that it was read. Not an acknowledgement that, like, nothing. Literally nothing. She just ghosted.
Wow.
To the point where Corey and I were, like, wondering the next morning if she might just show up and, like, not have seen the message or something. That's why we emailed and texted, like, this exact same message, because we wanted to make sure it was clear. And, you know, in the message we said it's not a good fit. It doesn't seem to be working out with Augie. And also, like, we need someone who's more reliable and, you know, you're being late has become a problem. Yeah, nothing, not a word.
Wow. So. Did she show up?
No, she did not show up. She's just gone. And I changed the key codes on the gate because I was just like, I don't know if she's weird and vindictive. So, yeah, so that didn't work out. And now we have to start looking for a nanny again.
Bummer. Oh, I'm sorry that didn't work out. That's so stressful.
Super stressful. And now I feel like we're like 3 weeks behind. I also feel like it set us behind with Augie. Like, now I'm looking at his, like, sleep regressions and his, like, cleanliness, and I'm like, is that because she was kind of, like, harsh with him? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it just, now I feel terrible about that, and that I, like, subjected him to 3 weeks of, not even 3 weeks of dealing with her, and yeah. Mm-hmm. So, ugh. No. So,
moving
that's
on.
That's a big BFN for this week.
Yeah, that is. I'm sure you'll find someone else new and great very soon.
I hope so. Yeah. I've already started scouring all the sites, like all the mm-hmm. care.com and Facebook moms groups and everything, trying to get people lined up for interviews. So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. But anyway, that is it for me this week. I think we should probably wrap it up, especially because I am suddenly out of childcare.
Yes. You've got some babies to watch.
Yes.
All right. Listeners, we want to hear from you. Anything else Laura and I didn't cover in our loose ends segment? Shoot us a message. We'll answer your questions. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo right into that email. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, if you want to join a super supportive and amazing community on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. Make sure you answer the 2 membership questions when you request to join, because we need to make sure you are not a robot. And once you do that, you'll be sent through to the most amazing community on the internet, as far as I'm concerned.
Indeed. If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let everyone know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.